I was at the Leafs game, saw the game when I got home, went to MLB Network and watched all the post-game stuff, the Joe Torre stuff and everything. Again, I know that's going to drive a lot of people nuts, but Buck, that game's why I like baseball and why I will always like baseball.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And you know what? It was really interesting to have the stars and all of the stories within that game come out and play itself out again. You know, Verlander continues to have problems in the first. He continues to have problems giving up home runs. Bregman is a big game player, and he hits another home run and then carries his bat all the way to first base. And 21-year-old Juan Soto sits out there in left field, watches him do it, and then when he hits a home run, he packs it to first base, saying, "It was pretty cool what I saw Bregman do, so I thought I'd do it myself." It was a pretty interesting game six for sure.
Buck, how did you view the call at first base in real time? And then what were your thoughts when you heard all the explanations after the fact?
I thought they got it right. He was inside the running lane. He never got inside that 3-foot, 45-foot long running lane. And, you know, it's probably one of the most flawed rules in all of baseball, because you're required to run in foul territory until you get to first base, and then you're supposed to step on the bag in fair territory. But I think the umpires got it right. Trey Turner interfered with Gurriel's opportunity to make a play on the ball. And you could say, well, it was a bad throw. Well, you know what? Because he was running outside that box, that's by definition the right call. Where they really kind of made some mistakes and left themselves open for criticism was the fact they went to the review. And I know they went to the review because of the protest, but it's a non-reviewable play. And I think what Gary Cederstrom did that really makes everybody a little bit uneasy about it was he held his hand up to indicate out, which generally means the call was upheld, but it's not a reviewable play. And I think, you know, that's all the controversy. I spoke to Randy Marsh after the play happened. He came up to the booth, and we talked about it. He's the umpiring supervisor, and he felt they caught the call right, but they shouldn't have gone to replay.
Hmm. Buck, just one clarification. As someone who's broadcasting the series, you have the international broadcast. Obviously, Joe Buck, John Smoltz have the Fox broadcast. Do you get any kind of heads up from either baseball's office or something from the field with the umpires where you can explain to the audience, or do you have to decipher what's going on in real time just like the rest of us?
Yeah, we have to do it in real time, Richard. We don't have an opportunity, and obviously because things happen so quickly in any kind of sporting event, you've got to go on the fly with what you see and what your experience has allowed you to understand. And that's what we do. We don't have a chance to say timeout like in the NFL, and they have a regular referee, a retired referee, help them make decisions on the course of a game. But we don't have that. Only in between innings, from time to time, we asked Randy Marsh to come up afterwards to get a clarification of it, and he met with both the Fox people and with us.
Thanks, Buck.
Oh, Tony or Anthony Rendon makes it sort of academic. And Buck, after that call was made, I'm thinking to myself, my God, this is going to be Don Dinkinger all over again. And there's something about plays at first base. You know, third base is the hot corner and all that stuff, but it's amazing how much weird stuff happens at first base. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? There's so many things going on, and we have made this point throughout this World Series because we've had two great first basemen with Zimmerman and Gurriel. And Gurriel's made a number of good plays over at first base twice against Trey Turner. But, a baseball fan has a tendency to just discount the importance of a good first baseman, but we've seen it play out in this series. And, there's a lot of things that go on there. Runners coming there, balls getting there, first baseman's trying to get back to the bag, especially now with all the dramatic shifts, and oftentimes the first baseman's a long way from the bag.
Buck, great. There was a great story by Tom Verducci on Sports Illustrated's website today about Steven Strasburg and the national staff recognizing and realizing he was tipping pitches and the adjustment they made after the first inning. I wonder, again, from being a former catcher and from all your broadcasting experience, did you, while watching the game yesterday, did you notice anything dramatically different in Strasburg from that first inning then to the second and third inning?
he has had a history of doing this, and that's why he is pitching out of the stretch. He minimized a lot of the different stops in his glove and his hands and the way he was manipulating the baseball as he tried to grip the various pitches that he throws. But to be honest with you, no. And at that point, you know, you're so focused on pitch sequences and everything else. You know, it takes a handful of guys, and I'm sure given the controversy we have seen with the Astros that everybody was focused from that Nationals dugout just watching their own pitcher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the pitchers that aren't active, and Wade Miley is one of them, and I talked to Garrett Cole about this. Miley has been watching the games from inside to help his pitchers, you know, basically on pitch selection and setting up and sequencing. And he sat in the clubhouse for games 1 and 2. They lost both games, so in 3, 4, and 5, he sat in the dugout. He didn't want to watch on TV anymore, and I don't think he was inside yesterday. But, you know what? For me, I can honestly say, you know, there's so many things going on. That's kind of the last thing I worry about. But when you start to see as many good swings as they had, you start to think maybe they have something. And you know what? They rectified it quickly, certainly. And, boy, Strasburg was really good pitching into the ninth inning.
Buck, you know what? It almost makes me wonder how much that goes on and we don't hear about it. You know, there's a lot of media coverage of the World Series. You've got reporters and on both dugouts. I know we have reporters and dugouts as well, but there's so much focus and so much emphasis on it. It makes me wonder how often that happens in a game, and we just don't know about it.
I don't think it happens as much as we think.
Really? Okay.
To be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't think it. I think the Astros are using a little gamesmanship as well when they're all covering their mouth and they're whispering to one another, and it makes everybody think, oh, they got something. And then the pitcher's going to hesitate, and he's wondering, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing? So there's some doubts in his mind. So I think there's more gamesmanship involved. And we have seen catchers, Maldonado and Chirinos and Yan Gomes, have all been crossed up in this series. Because they're using so many different sets of signs, they will literally change the sequence of signs they're using in at-bats, not just in between innings, but in at-bats they're switching. And you have seen several pitches where the catchers have been crossed up. I don't know if they're crossing themselves up or the pitchers crossing them up, but there have been cross-ups.
Buck, now that you've seen a steady diet of Juan Soto, and of course you saw Ronald Acuna earlier, I don't want to draw a comparison between Soto and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because different players, different body types, et cetera, et cetera. But when I look at Juan Soto, I'm beginning to wonder if the bar for young players isn't even higher than I thought it was originally. Because this guy's not much older than Vladdy.
No, I agree with you 100%. He is so savvy and so aware. During the workout game prior to game one, and Kevin Long was telling me that he has a higher ceiling than anybody he's worked with.
Wow.
And that includes Derek Jeter and Robinson Cano. Mm. So, you know, he's a very special guy. He's very, very aware. He's very animated, obviously. And all of that routine with his kicking at the dirt and wandering up and down in batter's box, that's all by design. He said, I am in control of that batter's box. That's my batter's box. And if I get the pitcher to be a little bit distracted, if he buys into my antics a little bit, then I have won. He's really aware and really understands. And if you think back to game one, he hit the home run up onto the railroad tracks. He had a line drive off the score, but he got 3 hits in his first World Series game. Mm-hmm. You know what? We have seen it with Bregman. We have seen it with Correa. We've seen it with Altuve. The best players in the game think they're the best players on the field. And you don't have a problem with that. I don't, certainly, because they can get it done. And when he hit that home run, you know, there was a little bit of misunderstanding in the Verlander banter because some people thought he was getting on Soto, but he was actually getting on the home plate umpire. He thought he'd made a good pitch, and he's hollers out, not here, not now. Don't miss that call because he's trying to set up a great hitter. And then that banter, and he got distracted in the next pitch that Soto hits into the second deck in right field, but a tremendous matchup. And I agree with you. I think Juan Soto is among the best young players we've seen come into the game for a long time, and I'll put him in that Ken Griffey category right now.
Buck, we're about 5 hours away from opening pitch, which you can catch on Sportsnet. And what is your sense regarding tonight? What do you expect will happen?
I think, Richard, it's really interesting because we have the 7th and 8th Cy Young Award winners matching up in a Game 7 in the World Series. Sandy Koufax won in 65. Chris Carpenter, the former Blue Jay, won in 2011 as former Cy Young Award winners. And the losers include Mike Cuellar. He lost in 71. Mm. And the other pitchers to pitch but didn't get a decision, Bob Turley in 60, Roger Clemens in 2001, and Corey Kluber in 2016. So you asked for a marquee matchup. We got it. And, you know, everybody was overlooking Zach Greinke, but he pitched a heck of a game in Game 3 to get the Astros back in it, even though he only pitched into the fourth inning, did not complete the fifth. So I think we're in for it. I think the big question mark is, yeah, everybody says Max Scherzer is good to go tonight, but how good is he going to be? Sunday, he couldn't move his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot him up with cortisone. They put a neck brace on him on the plane down here to Houston. And I watched him throw yesterday before the game, and he looked free and easy. And then you saw him pacing in the bullpen last night. He thought he was going to come into that game until Rendon hit the home run. But I just don't know how much you're going to get from Max Scherzer. I know you're going to get everything he has, but what is that going to be?
Buck, do you think if this game demands it tonight that we might see Strasburg in this game?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you'll see Strasburg. I think you might see Garrett Cole.
Okay.
I don't think you see Strasburg. I think he emptied the tank last night. He pitched out of so many situations. I thought the game was decided, and I said it on the air when it happened in the fifth inning when he's got runners at second and third and one out to get Altuve to strike out on three pitches and then get Michael Brantley hitting ground ball out to get out of it. I thought that was the ball game. And I think, you know, everybody talks about emotions and pitch count and how tired are you. I think that's when Strasburg showed who he was, and he was able to get out two of the toughest hitters in those situations. He got Altuve on three pitches, and he was overmatched. And then Michael Brantley, as he's done so often in this postseason, hits the ball hard, but hits it into the shift and grounds out to end the inning. I thought that was the ball game right there in that fifth inning.
I know, Buck, I know Jeff Blair doesn't believe in momentum in baseball. I'm not sure how you feel about that, but is there any carryover from what happened last night to tonight?
I think there is carryover because of the emotions. You know, there haven't been any game-changing scores. You know, lead change, we had one lead change in the first game, and that was it until last night. And all of a sudden now we've got the Bregman home run, we've got the Soto home run, we've got an ejection from Dave Martinez. A.J. Hinch came out and argued that they made the wrong call. And there were a lot of things going on, and I think this is going to be a very emotional game tonight. I think both of these teams are primed and ready. And, yeah, I think we should see a special game tonight. And if you're asking me who's going to win, I have no idea.